Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Rating, reviewing, and subscribing really helps new listeners find us. All right, let's get rolling. This week's guest is Tara from the blog Running and Reading. I'm so excited to have her on the show because she is one of the very few bloggers I've met face-to-face. She came to my hometown last year to run the half marathon here, and we met for coffee and talked for 2 hours, and we actually did not talk about books all that much. We got to the very end of the conversation and realized we had not covered books at all, so we quickly shoved in some book conversation. The point being, Tara and I have a lot in common outside of reading. So Tara, welcome.
Thanks so much, Sarah. It's really fun to be able to do this with you.
As you could tell by the title of her blog, she blogs about running and books. I am a ex-runner. I'm also an ex-triathlete, and Tara has recently picked up triathlons, so we've been chatting about that. We also have a very unhealthy shared obsession with The Bachelor.
Yes.
Yes. We don't like to admit that on our blogs, although I think we have gotten over that by now, right?
Well, I think more people are sort of coming out of the closet. So then I feel encouraged. I feel empowered to talk more about my love-hate relationship with it.
It doesn't necessarily mean you are unintellectual anymore if you watch The Bachelor, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a cool thing now.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely an unhealthy obsession of mine as well. So Tara, despite all of these activities that she does have time for a day job. So tell us a little bit about your job. It's a cool one.
Well, I'm glad that you think so. I think so. So I am what's known as a clinical chaplain. So I'm a chaplain, but I've been trained in a hospital setting, and I only work in a hospital full time. And one of my friends that I went through training with, she jokes that the best way to kind of shut down party conversation is to tell people that you're a chaplain.
They'll hide their drink.
Yes, they start monitoring their behavior and
making sure they don't use curse words.
Yes. So it's just this sort of awkward. And then I feel compelled to say, it's okay. I use curse words too. Or, you know, I drink wine.
Just tell them you watch The Bachelor.
Right. So I love my job. I think it's certainly not for everyone, but I enjoy the wide range of people that I get to meet who are in the hospital. I say they're a captive audience. They're stuck here and they don't really know what's going to happen or how long they're going to be here. And sometimes those folks just need some support, you know, outside of just regular medical professional, nursing staff, physicians, that kind of thing. So it's my job to check in on these folks and provide some extra support to help people with things that we don't really feel comfortable talking about most of the time, like end-of-life discussions.
Right.
Helping people to see kind of what that transition might look like for them and help them to make informed decisions for themselves, for their family. So yeah, I consider it a privilege to be able to do that and to have some knowledge to kind of help steer people in the direction that they really want to go, but they're just not really sure how to get there, how to talk about it, how to have conversations with their family about it. It's an interesting career, but also very, very rewarding.
I was going to say, it sounds like a job that is incredibly meaningful, both for you and the people that you're talking to and helping, because you can see a direct and immediate impact of what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a very different environment. People who are in some type of ministry outside of the hospital come in, and it's very confusing. Anyone who's been in the hospital knows that being in a hospital is rather confusing because we have our own sort of language here and our own system. And so it's just being able to kind of help people navigate
all that.
It can also be mentally and emotionally taxing.
Yes.
Which is why reading for me is such a great escape, but it definitely also guides some of my reading decisions.
You just took my next question out of my mouth. I was going to ask you, so this is the type of job that I feel like could really impact your reading choices going two ways. One, there are a lot of books out there about the things that you're probably talking to. Do you call them patients? What do you call them?
yeah, patients usually in a very broad sense, because sometimes family members are my patients.
Sure. I'm thinking about When Breath Becomes Air.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you've read, right?
Yes, yes.
But then also needing to escape and needing some really light, fun stuff.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. Definitely When Breath Becomes Air is one of my all-time favorites. I think that people both in and outside of healthcare should read it. I think it's a great, and I've heard, you know, similar thoughts from lots of people who have no healthcare experience that book really impacted them. Another one that really kind of made the rounds when it came out was Being Mortal.
Yes. Atul Gawande, maybe? I might have just butchered that.
No, that's kind of what I think too, but I found lots of other things. For example, there's a woman who, I call her like a researcher. She's a writer, Kate Bowler, and she has a blog, but she wrote a book recently called Everything Happens for a Reason.
I've heard of this one.
And I think it's one of those books that has a subtitle. So Everything Happens for a Reason. And I think the rest of it is In Other Lies I've Been Told or something like that.
Oh. So, I like that.
She did this huge study about evangelical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her talking about her own diagnosis of cancer in this framework of the work that she's doing and kind of how this particular group of, or this population kind of responds to those situations or that type of trauma.
Right.
So it was very, very interesting. But I think also because of my work, I really enjoy reading memoirs, things that you, I know, have enjoyed, like Tell Me More by Kelly Corrigan. Where she talks about her experience with the death of her father. Anything by Anne Lamott. She writes about spirituality and her faith really well in a very accessible way.
Awesome. And for the listeners, if you have not read Tell Me More by Kelly Corrigan, it's one of my favorite books of 2018. And she's so relatable and so funny and so insightful about just daily mundane life and marriage and parenting and growing older and friendship. You name it. It's one of those outlook on life books that I really love.
Yeah, I'd like to read more of her work.
And she's got more to read. All right, let's talk a little bit about your blog. How did you decide to blog about running and reading?
Well, it's funny that you asked this because I'm not really sure I have a great answer. But there was a time when, and maybe lots of other people have had this experience, I don't know, but I really got most of my book recommendations from places like People Magazine.
Yes.
I would be so excited every week at the grocery store or wherever I'm going to find my People Magazine and see what it is I should be reading. Over the years, I just thought, surely there's a better way, right? Like there's other people are reading. So we start using Amazon, and Amazon is giving you book recommendations.
Their books of the month are great.
Yeah. I wanted to find real people who weren't just at some stale library book club, which that was really all that I had at the time. And so I thought, surely I can find some people, maybe online. There's got to be somebody who's talking about books. And so that's when I really started exploring, kind of found the world of book blogging. And I know it had been around for a while already, but this was late 2013 for me.
Right.
Before I even discovered that this was going on in the world.
So you read blogs before you started your own?
Yes, yes.
I know that sounds basic, but I did not.
Well, I just kind of started thinking, well, how can I curate my own group, like my own
community?
Yes, yes. Because the ones that I found some, but I just was struggling to find ones that were written by people who had similar reading tastes to mine. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I can try to figure this out. So I thought, well, what do I do in life? I mostly run. And I was already reading running blogs, and I love to read, and I'm trying to connect with readers. So I thought, well, I'm just going to kind of smash these two things together. I can write some about my running experiences and training and all of that and try to connect with more runners. And then I can just talk about what I'm reading and maybe can find some other people who do this and try to interact with them.
And I do think you have a community that has a lot of overlap. I can always tell followers on Instagram that you've sent me because they're, is it Wassell?
Yes, yes, Wassell.
That's a running apparel company that Tara is a representative for. And I can always tell because they have that in their bio. So I'm like, oh, that comes from Tara. So there are a lot of people that read your blog that are runners and readers, not just one or the other.
Yeah, and that's what's been so interesting. After I started the blog, I was really kind of surprised by how many of my running friends came out of the woodwork and were like, oh, I read this book, or I think you'd really like this book, or I started reading this book because I read about it on your blog and I just love it. And I love reading your reviews and I'm thinking, oh, wow. Okay. Well, so yeah, let's talk more about books instead of just running, because it might seem kind of strange, but running people only talk about running. When we get together, that's really all we talk about. Like, what kind of races are you doing, or what hurts on your body, or it gave us a different way to connect outside of running.
And it's almost like once you put yourself out there as, hey, I'm a book person, more and more people seek you out to talk about books.
Yeah.
All right. One more question for you before we get to your recommendations. And it is about audiobooks, because Tara is running very long distances. She runs 20 miles a pop. Do you listen to audiobooks while you run, or do you listen to podcasts? What's your running listening choice?
For years, I only listened to music. If I listened to anything, sometimes I would use music as a reward. Like, you're going to run your first 8 miles with no music, and then you get to turn your music on, or something along those lines.
That's almost sadistic.
Right. It's like, oh, here, you have to go this far. But also, I would run out of music. Like, it would just get kind of stale after a while.
Sure.
The same songs.
Coming up with a 3-hour playlist is tough.
Right. So then I finally started listening to podcasts, and I don't remember kind of how I got started with that, but I started listening to podcasts, which was good. But just in the past couple of years, I've really gotten into audiobooks and trying to figure out which books work well while I'm running.
That's a tough question. I wrestled with that and just never found a good answer.
It really is.
Have you found a good answer?
It depends a lot, I've discovered, on the narrator.
Okay.
I have to enjoy their reading voice. And I struggle when I'm running with narrators who have like an accent, like British accent or something like that. So that's kind of difficult for me for whatever reason. But then I've found myself listening to books on audio that I probably would not read. I've listened to some romance novels, I think that's pretty hilarious. It's almost like listening to The Bachelor.
Right.
Or listening to some kind of reality show.
Right.
So they're entertaining in that way.
Do you have a fiction, nonfiction preference?
The majority of the time, nonfiction is my go-to.
I'm the same way. I could not do fiction on audio, especially when I was running. I could not listen to fiction. Just did not work. I kept zoning out. I'd miss plot points.
Yes.
But nonfiction works better.
That's what I think about the romance, which makes it a good candidate for fiction, because it's okay if you miss a paragraph.
Right.
Kind of like watching a soap opera, how if you missed it for like a month, you go back and nothing's changed.
That is so true.
Kind of the same with, like, you'll catch up and be like, oh, okay, that's what happened. Nonfiction, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
Ooh, that would be a great one on audio. I read that before I ever started listening to audiobooks.
It is great, and I can just pick it up and listen to it for an hour or two and go away, and it's fine.
Tiny Beautiful Things by her as well is one of my top audiobooks of all time.
I have the book, and I've read it. That would be a good, like, go back and listen.
Oh, yeah. It's narrated by her, and she's great.
I like listening to Brené Brown.
Uh-huh.
I think she's great on audio for while I'm running. You know, some of these memoirs, I listened to Tell Me More while I was running.
Yep.
I have enjoyed Scott Jurek, who is an ultra runner.
Oh, I haven't heard of him.
He had a book that came out not too long ago called North.
Okay.
And it's about his experience running the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, cool.
I like him. So some running stuff, but not always, can be really any sort of engaging nonfiction.
Well, I'm glad to hear that somebody else has trouble with fiction on audio while exercising.
Yeah, and I think, too, I struggle with getting things confused with what I'm reading, like when I'm reading fiction and listening to fiction.
And that happens to me, too. All right, well, let's get into your recommendations. We are going to talk about 2 old books you love, 2 new books you love, 1 book you don't love, and an upcoming release that you are excited about. So let's start off with your first old book that you love.
Okay, this was so much fun. So my first old book is new to me, but it's an old-ish book. So it's Still Life by Louise Penny.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So it was published in 2008. She has a gajillion fans.
And they're rabid fans. People love her.
Well, and what's interesting to me is that I find that her fans are it's a very eclectic group. So people who might not otherwise enjoy this type of fiction, it's kind of mystery, kind of
Isn't it kind of quirky small town too?
It's a series. Still Life is the very first one. I just read it maybe like a month or so ago. It's based on this really quiet little community, very small town vibe called Three Pines. The very first book, this little community is just shocked by the death of one of their own members. It's Canadian. It's a Canadian author, and Canadian is where it's set. We're introduced to this detective who's Inspector Armand Gamache.
Great name.
Yes, right. And it's kind of tough to compare to anything else that I've read, but I was really drawn in by these characters and this little town and very cozy. That's how everyone seems to describe it. It's very cozy, like curl up by the fire and get your tea or whatever and read about this.
I always think of her books as not cozy mysteries, but cozy mysteries for people that don't quite want to delve fully into cozy mysteries.
Yeah, there's nothing that's super scary or gross or whatever. It's not a thriller type of thing, but you are turning the pages, trying to figure out where this is going to go, what's going to happen. The author writes really well, obviously. It's very engaging. So yeah, I'm definitely going to stick with it.
And you have a lot of books to read. How many books are in that series? Like 20?
Oh man, I don't even know.
I could be wrong on that.
I feel like she keeps coming up with a new one every year or something.
All right. Well, let's talk about your second old book you love.
Okay, my second old book, you and I have talked about it a tiny bit before, but it's called The Art of Fielding.
Oh, yes!
By Chad Harbach, and it was published in 2011. I really tried to figure out what about this book just stuck with me so much. And I think what I've come up with it is that it's really got that kind of Beartown vibe.
It does.
And of course, this is before Beartown, so I couldn't compare it to that then. But instead of hockey, it has a baseball background. But there's this guy who's this college athlete. His name's Henry Scrimshander. It's about really five main characters. It's he and his coach, his roommate, who's also one of his teammates, kind of all of their little connections. But I really equate it to Beartown and a little bit of Hearts Invisible Furies vibe.
Yes, I see that.
Which are books that I've really loved, and I know a lot of people get into those. But man, it got some buzz when it came out, but I've wondered what happened to this author.
When you first said this book, my first thought was, where is Chad Harbach?
Yeah, I think I've Googled him before, and I'm not sure.
This was his debut novel. We haven't heard a peep from him since. I've Googled to see if he has a new book coming out. He doesn't. However, I remember when this book was coming out, there was a huge spread in Vanity Fair. It was titled something like The Making of a Epic Novel or something. And it talked about his process to write this novel and publish it. And he spent like 11 years writing this novel.
Oh, wow.
I could be wrong on the exact number of years, but I think it was 11, and it was a really long time. So I guess in 2024, we should look for something else from him.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'll keep my eyes open then. That's incredible. But I really did love that book.
And I did too. I loved it as well. And also for the listeners, Tara actually mailed me a beautiful hardback of this book to put on my bookshelves when I moved to a new house and did not have any books for my shelves because I read solely on a Kindle. So I was sort of stocking my shelves, and Tara sent me this one, and it has a place of honor up there.
Aww.
And the one other thing I would add about this book is that, and one of the reasons I loved it so much, is it's sports, but not really.
Right, right.
Like Friday Night Lights. It's sports, but it's about so much more than sports. Sports is sort of the backdrop to talk about life.
Exactly.
And it's also an awesome campus novel.
Yes, yes, which I love.
I do too. That's a kryptonite of mine for sure. All right, so let's switch gears and talk about a new book you love.
Sure. The first one that I thought I would talk about is called Our Homesick Songs.
Ooh, I haven't heard of this one.
It was written by a woman named Emma Hooper. It published mid-August of 2018. It has been long listed for the Giller Prize, which is a prize for Canadian authors. So I'm excited to kind of see how that pans out. But what I love so much about this novel is that, similar to the Louise Penny series that we were talking about, it takes place in a very small fishing village in Newfoundland. And these people in this community are very loyal, not only to each other, but also to their community. In fact, a woman that I know in real life, we go to church together, she and her husband visited this actual community. And she said the same thing. She was like, oh my gosh, these people are just so genuine and so wonderful and so connected and all of that. So that was really cool. But anyway, they are really fighting for their lives in this village because the fish have just gone away. People can't make a living there anymore.
And that's their whole livelihood.
Yeah, everything is based on people making money from the fishing industry, and there's no more fish. And nobody really knows what's happened. And so everyone's slowly moving away. I mean, people are actually abandoning their homes and just walking away. So there's this family, though, named the Connors. And it's a husband and wife, and they have two kids. The husband and wife are having to take turns leaving home to go and work off the island to try to make money. But their little boy, Finn, who's 11 years old, he is just determined to bring the fish back, to find out where the fish have gone. And he comes up with this plan for how he's going to get the fish to come back. And it is just a precious story. I mean, I just loved it so much.
It sounds heartwarming.
It is. It really is. This family is just so, I mean, you just fall in love with them. And it too gave me, because of the community, gave me a little bit of that Bear Town vibe for people who like that kind of thing. But also, not because of any dynamics really in their family necessarily, but that the heartwarming, like, we're going to stick together and figure this out kind of vibe of This Is How It Always Is by Lori Frankel.
Oh, yes, yes.
And just kind of a quirky family. It's very good. It's very well written. I don't know that I would have heard of it had I not gotten a copy from the publisher. But then also, it was selected 1 month by a guest person for people who are familiar maybe with Annie Jones and the Bookshelf.
Oh, yes.
In Thomasville, Georgia. And she has her shelf subscription service. And she had a guest person to pick books for some of their readers, and this was one that was chosen.
Oh, cool.
So I noticed it from there too. But yeah, it's definitely worth reading. It's not real long.
Yeah. Well, I kind of want to read that one because people ask me all the time for recommendations for happy books.
Yeah.
And I like to read really dark, messed up, unhappy books. So I always like to have a few in my back pocket that I can throw out there when people ask me for something happy.
Yeah, they're certainly not without their challenges. I mean, there's a lot of difficult things that are going on.
It sounds like a happy book I might like.
Yes, I think so.
All right. What is your second new book you love?
My second new book is called The Deeper the Water, the Uglier the Fish.
I'm so excited to read this one. Yay. Tell me about it.
So it's written by a woman named Katia Apakina. I just finished it maybe a couple of weeks ago. I know it'll be a little while before this podcast comes out, but
yes.
I think it published August, September. So the novel is really about two sisters. Their mother struggles with mental health issues, and I'm not spoiling anything because it's in the description of the book when I tell you that one of the sisters literally finds their mother hanging from a jump rope in their living room. She's trying to hang herself.
Wow.
And she saves her, makes her get down and all this stuff. So they've been through, obviously, a difficult childhood.
Yes.
Their mother gets some help, but the sisters are each kind of handling their displacement and their loneliness from their mother differently. And that's really what the book is about, is kind of how they each handle this reality that they've been given. And it is just really beautifully written. The cast of characters are great. It's unique in that it's first person narration. So each one chapter will be, and the chapters are pretty short, which is kind of nice if you're one of those people who likes to pick things up and put them down like
yes.
I do. So you get one sister will do a little bit, then another sister, then maybe another character that you haven't met yet, but has interaction with this family and kind of gives their perspective.
So alternating perspectives.
Yeah.
Which is big right now, I feel like.
And it's done really well so that you're not going, wait, who is this? Or
right.
What is this? Because of the sisters and because of their struggles and the way that they deal with them, it kind of reminds me of a book I read a while back.
Wait, before you say, can I guess?
Yes.
Rabbit Cake?
Oh, no, but that's a good, there are some laughing moments.
Okay.
That's a good comparison too, but I was thinking about a book called Everything Here is Beautiful.
Yes, and I did read that.
By Mira Lee. Yeah, so that's a great book.
I have a special TBR list that's called Must Try Before the End of the Year. If listeners are confused by this, because the podcast is not going to be coming out until January, we're actually recording this in late October. So that's why I'm talking about my Must Read Before the End of the Year TBR list. So let's talk about one book you didn't love.
Oh, this is always the hardest one, right? I was super excited to read Tin Man by Sarah Winman.
Yes, I read that.
several of my trusted recommendation sources were letting me know that this was going to be a good one.
Mine too.
Like, okay, requested a copy of it or anything, but my library had it. So I just put it on my hold list. And when it came up, I was super excited. But you know how those library holds go, and you don't really get to pick when you're going to read something sometimes. I thought that the writing was great. I think Sarah Wyman is probably a wonderful author. I think it may have been that it kind of hit me at the wrong time.
Right.
That I was a little bit distracted while I was reading it and didn't feel like I had great chunks of time to read the book. And it's not very long, so I thought, well, that's going to be fine. But I just felt disconnected from the story pretty much the whole time. And I had a little bit of a hard time kind of following the narrative. I think I gave it on my Goodreads 3.5 stars. I liked it. I thought I was going to love it, and I didn't love it.
Expectations play such a big role.
Yes.
For the listeners out there, I had the exact same experience as you did.
Oh, okay.
Some of my very most trusted book sources gave it 5 stars, loved it. And I was like, I don't really see the hype. It's fine. And I read it months ago. I couldn't tell you much about it at this point. I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
That sort of tells me everything I need to know, right?
I think someone, I don't even remember who it was, back in the days when I used to be scared about putting books down or DNFing them, as we say, someone said, if you stop this book right now and you put it down for a few days and you find yourself not even caring about what's going to happen at the end or what happens with these characters, then you should probably just leave it alone.
That's such a good test. So that was Tin Man by Sarah Wyman. Let's now talk about an upcoming release that you're excited about, or a new release that you're excited about.
Another thing with expectations, I hope I don't build this one up too much in my head and then I go and read it and I'm like, okay. But the book that I'm really excited about comes out in April 2019. It's called Lost and Wanted, and it is by an author named Nell Freudenberger. She, for me, is akin to Chad Harbaugh.
Okay.
I'm thinking, what happened to her? I loved her debut novel. It came out in 2012, and it was called The Newlyweds. And it's such a great book. I mean, I always tell people they should read it, but it's about a gal who is from Bangladesh, and she travels to Rochester, New York, to meet, for the first time, a man that she has met over the internet. And they have plans to get married. So it's kind of like a modern-day mail-order bride situation. So it's funny, but also very thought-provoking. But I loved that book. So I've been like, what happened to Nell Freudenberger? And why has she not written anything else? She does some work for magazines, publications, things like that. But anyway, I found out that she has this new book coming out in April, Lost and Wanted. One of the main characters is this renowned scientist. Her name is Helen Clapp. She went to school at MIT, and she's like a physicist. She's come up with some grand, I don't even remember what this new discovery that she made. So she's kind of famous in her world, but she's also very skeptical and kind of standoffish, probably because she's super smart, but she's kind of dropped some relationships in her life because she's concentrated so much on her work. And then one day she gets this shocking phone call. Someone's letting her know that her college roommate has suddenly died. And she was very close with her college roommate for a number of years, even after they were at college. But then for some reason that we don't know yet, they've lost touch with each other. So what I'm hearing is that the book is really kind of about Helen questioning her beliefs about her relationships, about her life. And there's some more, I think, to the story that is going to come out. So I'm excited about it. I know just from my experience with her previous work that her writing is really great. And I'm hopeful that this is going to be also a really good story.
That was not on my radar at all. And I already have, 9 or 10 books for April 2019.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
April is a strangely packed month for me. But I do want to add this to the list now after hearing you talk about it. And that is Lost and Wanted by Nell Freudenberger. All right. Are we ready to play Rate It?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Here's the rules. This is a lightning round type game. I will give you 5 bookish things, not necessarily a specific book, and you will rate it either 1 star or 5 stars. You cannot rate it 2, 3, or 4 stars.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
This is love, hate.
Okay. Okay.
And it's just like how you would rate a book, except you cannot have 2, 3, or 4 stars. Ready?
Ready.
Number 1, The term self-help.
One.
Me too. Two. Sports fiction.
Five.
I already knew how you were going to answer that. And that's so funny because I did not know what books you were going to recommend on the show when I wrote the rate it items I was going to give to you. All right. Love triangles.
Five.
Yeah, because you watched The Bachelor. Books with a reality TV show setting.
Oh, I'm going to go one.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I really would like to be in the middle, but I think they can go either way. I just think it's really tough to do.
Yes, I agree. But I think the past year, there have been two that I've really loved. For listeners, the two that I really loved this year that are set in a reality TV world are The Book of Essie and The Favorite Sister.
Yeah, those are the only two that I've really...
Oh, me too. Those are the only two, but they just happen to have come recently.
Yeah.
All right, number five, Bachelor in Paradise.
Five.
And that's totally not book related, but I cheated.
Yes.
And I give it a five too.
I've not been watching it as long as I've been watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, but I find myself more and more drawn to it because there's just so much drama and it's quicker. It's like quick drama.
Yeah. And I feel like there's more than one couple to root for. So let's say you don't really like the lead. There's other people to root for out there. And I love how they don't take themselves. When I say they, I mean the show and production does not take themselves nearly as seriously as they do in The Bachelor. Like they'll make fun of themselves with their crazy intros and that kind of stuff.
You're right. It's kind of like we're riffing ourselves with this one.
Exactly. A little tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
All right, well, we could probably talk about The Bachelor for another hour, but we will spare everybody in case you don't watch the show.
Right.
And this also is not a podcast about The Bachelor, believe it or not. All right, tell everybody where they can find you online.
Because I have not been blogging very much lately, although I did actually start a new post last night.
Yay! But you have been Instagramming, so we have been able to follow what you've been reading.
Yeah, so the blog is just at runninginreading.com, which that's also my handle on Instagram. So I do post a lot more on Instagram just because it's fast and easy, so people can find me there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I really enjoyed our discussion.
Thanks for having me.
So I temporarily take back everything I just said about this not being a Bachelor podcast, because we are going to talk a bit more about The Bachelor with next week's guest, who is former Bachelor contestant and founder of the Spivey's Club Facebook group, Ashley Spivey. Ashley's a huge reader, and we'll talk a bit about The Bachelor and a lot about books and reading. She's also got bonus book recommendations for you. This is going to be a good one. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode and purchase links at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!